All right, let's get inside the numbers now on Steelers-Ravens as we gear up for this huge game Sunday. Dalton Wasserman from Pro Football Focus is on the Sullivan Super Service Fan Hotline, Pittsburgh's trusted plumbing and HVAC provider for over 50 years. PFF has you covered all season long, and certainly the push to the playoffs in your fantasy league with in-season tools, award-winning rankings from fantasy expert Nathan Jahnke, is it? Is that the proper pronunciation, Dalton?
It's actually Jahnke.
Jahnke. Okay, very good. Stay connected to the next generation of talent with the best NFL draft coverage on the planet as well. Good to have you again, Dalton. Thanks for coming on. There's some great numbers on your X site, PFF Pitt Steelers. One is this. Russell Wilson has the best completion rate on 20-plus throws this season. And it's a whole story breaking down how he has revitalized this offense. What else can you tell us about sort of inside the numbers with Russ and how you guys think he's doing?
Yeah, so I think what he's brought is the element of being able to complete passes, like you mentioned, 20-plus yards, a deep ball well downfield. You saw it in this game to George Pickens at times. You saw the big touchdown to Mike Williams. And you're talking about that. That's really the one thing that was missing with Justin Fields, is that he was completing passes, you know, in the flat, in the short game. He was obviously running the ball well, but he wasn't completing those downfield throws and adding the vertical element to the offense. So it might not sound like a lot, but when you have a guy like Justin Fields who's completing one out of three deep balls, and then Russell Wilson completing more than half of them, and he's got one of the best grades on deep balls for us in the league right now, it makes a big difference. And I think what it's done is it's just given their offense a different look when it comes to safeties not being in the box as much. You have to respect the Steelers on the outside more than you did before, where I think, you know, with Fields, it was more about play action and bootlegs and kind of working the chains. Wilson's added that different vertical element that's really opened everything else up in their offense.
George Pickens as well on those 20-plus targets all year. This is unbelievable. 11 catchable targets, 11 receptions, and that's almost 100 grade from you guys, and that's second in the whole NFL. Where do you have him overall with his grade this season? Is he becoming an elite star receiver in your eyes?
I think he's getting closer to it as the Steelers have leaned into his strengths, right? Now, you know, and I think there are times when he's not always maybe the elite, say, intermediate route runner that say a Justin Jefferson is. But when you look at the surge that he's been on lately since Wilson's become the quarterback, we have him as the 11th highest graded receiver in the league now. And I think that's the thing you just mentioned, is he's the main recipient. There's no one that has benefited more from the switch to Russell Wilson at quarterback than George Pickens. And I think it makes a lot of sense when you consider, you mentioned it, tied for the league lead in deep receiving grade. He's got the most deep catches in the league. This is what he does. He's a vertical receiver. He's a home run hitter. And when they get one-on-one on the outside, Wilson has given him a chance. And those moon balls that he throws, that sure helps with George Pickens, you know, being a guy who's, what, 6'3", 6'4". He's got body control. He's always been able to do those things. But it's especially since Wilson has come in there, he's really taken off because they're working to his strengths.
Just out of curiosity, Dalton, who do you have as, say, your top three receivers this season by your grades?
Season, it would be, let's see, it would be right now Nico Collins, when he was healthy, was having a hell of a year for sure. Justin Jefferson is right up there. Jamar Chase has been hot lately, but Nico Collins, AJ Brown, Justin Jefferson, and a guy who's really having a breakout, not just a breakout year, but I think the best year of his career, Terry McLaurin too in Washington, has just been incredible once he figured out his chemistry with Jaden Daniels. So those are really the guys I'm looking at. Before he got hurt, Nico Collins though was on an absolute tear. I'm waiting to see what that looks like again when he's healthy here.
On the other side of the ball, I think we talked about this a couple weeks ago, TJ's conventional stats are a little bit down this season, but I would imagine his analytics are holding strong. Is he still PFF's favorite to win Defensive Player of the Year?
Yeah, I believe for us he would be. He's still second behind Aiden Hutchinson, but obviously Hutchinson wouldn't win the Defensive Player of the Year with his injury. But no, TJ Watt, just an amazing year, leading all edge players, also in run defense grade. And I think that's a big thing that gets lost in the shuffle when you talk about traditional statistics is, oh, they just go, well, it's just tackles and this and that. No, he's an impact player in the run game as much as anybody in football. He's still an elite pass rusher despite, you know, maybe the traditional, the sacks and then the total pressures. But teams know they need to get the ball out quickly against the Steelers, right? So the pressures might not look great, but he's still third for us in pass rush grade behind Aiden Hutchinson and Myles Garrett. But the run defense, I think, is what really makes him such a great overall player. And even those times we've seen it before where he can drop into coverage. So you could argue, you know, even if he's not by the traditional stats, you know, he doesn't have the most amazing stats compared to some other guys, he might be the most well-rounded defender in the entire league.
Yeah, I mean, that's how Myles Garrett won this award last year, was the deep analytics. He didn't win it by conventional stats, right?
Right, and I think, you know, you're talking about two guys who, you know, they're two of the best players, maybe the two best defensive ends in football, right? But, no, you're absolutely right. Is those underlying things, I think, do play more and more to part when you talk about they better represent every snap that a guy plays as opposed to just the highlight ones, right? And right now, on a snap-to-snap basis, nobody's playing better than T.J. Watt.
Fan Twitter brought to you by South Hills Kia, Peters Township. Visit them at southhillskia.net. The text line brought to you by Edgar Snyder & Associates, a personal injury law firm where they always say there's never a fee unless we get money for you. We have Dalton Wasserman from Pro Football Focus. Dalton, my friend Mr. P here would like to ask you a couple questions.
Oh, boy. Dalton, so first and foremost, this Steelers-Ravens is always one in the trenches, and both teams want to run the football. Who has the advantage on the offensive and defensive lines, in your opinion?
So I honestly think both defenses are going to have the advantage here. We know the Ravens are really good in run defense, and the Steelers, with some of their injuries that they've had on the inside, you've got obviously two rookies playing inside. You've got Zach Frazier and Mason McCormick, and the right tackle situation with Broderick Jones hasn't been great. I think you're going to see a very physical defensive game. And then I think on the other side, look, this Steelers defensive line right now, front to back, that's the best defensive line in the league for me. When you talk about Watt and Highsmith and Cam Hayward still playing at a high level and Keanu Benton's really good and you add in Preston Smith and you have Nick Herb. I mean, there's just so many guys who can be make an impact. And that defensive line, to me, is really the reason that they were able to somewhat contain Jaden Daniels in Washington, because they put five guys out there and they just played contained and they let those guys inside win. I think you're going to see a brutal, physical, really old school Steelers Ravens game. I know both teams are a little more high flying. Obviously Lamar and Derrick Henry and Zay Flowers, everything the Ravens have, and lately with Russell Wilson, the Steelers have added the deep ball in. But I think both defenses in the trenches at least have the advantages here.
He's in a contract year, and he seems to have just a ton to prove and is running harder, at least I think, than previous years. Najee Harris, how does PFF evaluate him?
I agree. I think lately he's run as well as he ever has, right? And I think that's especially over the last handful of games. You know, he had a three game stretch of 300-yard games and are a little quieter last week. I thought Washington did a really good job in run defense last week, you know, only 21 yards for 53 carries. But, no, Najee's having so far his best season, I would say. I think it's been a little bit cold, obviously, to start the year. And the Steelers sometimes, again, have issues in the trenches. But he's going to play a big part this week. I think it's going to be a physical game, and he's going to have to go out there and break some tackles and break through this Ravens front seven, because you don't want to be one-dimensional against a team, even though the Ravens secondary has been struggling.
Dante Jackson, what is PFF's thoughts on him? Because it seems like, at least for me, he was good in the early portion of the year, probably played one of his worst games before the Washington one, before the bye, didn't play well against the Giants, came back against Washington and got hurt. Has his season been as up and down as it appears?
Yeah, it kind of has. It's been kind of week to week, and lately, the last 2-3 weeks or so, it's been a bit of a struggle, right? I think, you know, we have him giving up 96 yards against the Giants last week. A couple of catches for 24 yards and he missed the tackle 3 weeks in a row before that. But I mean, the Steelers on the outside, it's not an elite corner unit. He committed two penalties this past week too. And I think one of the biggest things is lately, especially this past week, Steelers have been asking for more man-to-man coverage out of those guys on the outside, and it can be hard when you're going up against those elite receivers. So yeah, it's definitely been up and down in the last couple of weeks. It's been a struggle.
Dalton, we appreciate the time, man. Thanks for coming on.
Absolutely. Always good to be on. Thank you.
See you, buddy. That's Dalton Wasserman from Pro Football Focus. Anything stand out to you there? Limitless wonder?
Yeah, there were a couple different things. I mean, the battle of the trenches, he called the Steelers defensive line the best in all of football. Now, I know he kind of mix T.J. Watt in there and Preston Smith and some of the pass rushers. Basically, I think what he's saying is maybe front seven, the best front seven in all of football.
Yeah.
Which I think is a substantial note. I mean, those guys, how much they dive in the numbers. And I mean, I think San Francisco might have the best front seven, but for Dalton to put the Steelers ahead of that, I think that's telling.
It's interesting stuff, really. And the George Pickens numbers are phenomenal. He's caught every... Does that even make sense? Well, no, 11 catchable targets. That's the key there. Yeah. 11 catchable targets. And for him, you know, more footballs are catchable than for most. He's 11 for 11.
Yeah, that ball in the end zone he caught against Washington was just insane.
Ridiculous.
I mean, how many wide receivers make that catch? Five? In the NFL right now, maybe five?
Maybe.
Justin Jefferson, I mean.
That was crazy.
Devontae Adams, other than that.
Jeff Hathorn going to join us in a couple minutes here. Let's take a sharp turn in the meantime. Elliot Friedman, writing for Sportsnet.ca, covers hockey, obviously. His 32 thoughts in the headline this week is the Penguins and who's going to stay and who's going to go. He leads off by saying Lars Eller is the first, but he won't be the last. The Penguins have let teams know they are open for business. According to a couple of sources, Friedman says, their preference is young NHL players followed by already drafted prospects followed by picks. The return for Eller is typical for an unrestricted free agent to be, but by clearing his salary, it opens flexibility to explore other options. So, Marcus Pettersson and Drew O'Connor are among the names he says to follow. Pettersson deservedly gets a lot of attention. O'Connor's low number, $925,000, and flexibility makes him attractive. So how about this? And we said this yesterday. Taylor Haas was reporting this as well. The Penguins are just open for business. Dubas would like to take a few upper deck swings, but is limited by both hard-to-move contracts and no-trade language. He says if Sid wished to go anywhere else, he wouldn't have extended with the Penguins. We'll see if that changes. He doesn't believe Pittsburgh wants to trade Geno and doesn't believe he wants to go anywhere else. Chris Letang has a no move for three more seasons. Even if he wished a new address, it's not going to be easy. Friedman writes, he's a gamble at 37, so it's a worry for other teams. Now listen to this. Erik Karlsson. Friedman says again he has control, but his cap or his salaries go down. There's less of a financial commitment for an acquiring team, but he says Karlsson's taking a lot of heat locally and internationally. Get this, Limits. Longtime Swedish league and national team GM Johan Garpenlöf, which is a wonderful name, says the defenseman's play is too much of a risk for the Four Nations faceoff.
Wow.
This guy might not play for Sweden in an international tournament.
And he's one of their best players playing right now in the entire country.
Wow.
I don't think that's arguable.
So, but he says he's still very talented, obviously, and there would be interest. It's up to him. That's why I think all of this is why I think the time has arrived for Dubas to approach these guys. And here's the message if you're Dubas. This is going to get worse. This is going to get worse before it gets better. We love you. We want you to stick around. Geno, Letang, Karlsson. Sid's a separate issue, of course. He gets to do whatever he wants. Maybe not even we'd love for you to stick around. This is going to get worse, way worse before it gets better. We realize you're difficult to move. Do you want to go somewhere? Would you prefer to go to another team with a better chance to win before this gets worse? If you're Erik Karlsson, why would you say? Why would you want to stay in Pittsburgh?
I 100% agree.
Why? For what reason? I mean, he's said to be well-liked in the room. I have no idea. Who cares? Anyway.
He's not accomplished anything here. He's not his career. When you think of Erik Karlsson and his entire career of what it's going to be, you're not going to think Pittsburgh Penguins. You're going to think Ottawa.
there's just no connection. There, nothing has happened here. He's gotten worse. They're not going to win. Why not try to work it out if you're him? That's what I don't understand. Would Ottawa want him back? I know he still has connections there. I don't know. But if I'm him, man, I would want to get out. Quite frankly, if I was interested in winning, if I was any of these guys, I'd want to get out. And I understand some have larger concerns like legacy. And I don't know, with Gino, would he go anywhere?
No. He said it last night. He does not want to go anywhere. Him, Letang, Crosby. No matter what, they want to stay together.
Did Letang say that last night?
That's what Malkin said last night.
I guess they're going to stick it out then. But I'd be looking to trade pretty much everybody else. It feels like they went out and got a bunch of decent hockey players. Some of them quite good, like Raquel is a good hockey player.
Malkin's exact quote was, "It's my second home here. I'm glad to be here. Doesn't matter what happens. We win or we lost. I want to be here always together with Sid and Tanger."
Okay.
He's not going anywhere.
And I respect that. Do you?
Yes. And he also said, "We understand it's a tough time right now. We traded Lars Eller yesterday. Again, I want to stay together. We played hard tonight. We'll fight every game. Tough time, but we are together." That's not a guy that has any interest in moving.
I kind of like that, but you also have to realize people say things and then somebody presents them with another option and it changes. But I do like that sentiment. I do. You know, I suppose you can mix the, you know, the nostalgia tour with a almost a full rebuild, but you got to find ways to get rid of the Carlsons. Like I said, Raquel, there's a lot of talented players on this team. It just doesn't work. It just doesn't work together.
Would anybody take Ryan Graves for a seventh? Or would you have to give up substantial compensation?
Look on him, look on Rust, look on, obviously, Jari. You know, you'd drive him, you know, across the country. You'd drive him to Edmonton if they wanted it. You know what I mean? I would drive him there.
We'll take turns. I'll join you.
Last night watching that game, it just struck me. And I wonder if Penguins fans agree. Wouldn't it just be more fun at this point? If you're going to lose or be mediocre, or it feels like almost the worst thing now would be for them to have a good 10-game stretch, like just sort of a false read, you know, to have kids like hyper enthusiastic kids surrounding those three, the big three. If they want to go out together, that's kind of cool in and of itself. But how about just having a kiddie core around them? Guys who are willing to fight. Guys who have achieved nothing. Guys who, if somebody lays a glove on any one of those three, will come at you and fight you to the death, so to speak. You know what I mean? I had that thought watching the game last night. It would just be more enjoyable to surround Sid for sure, but okay, Gino and Letang, surround them with groups of young players who are willing to crawl across broken glass to win a game. They probably won't win many, but at least to see that, it would just be more enjoyable than watching Rickard Rakell, no offense to him, he's a good player, and Carlson and these other guys around. It doesn't work. It's just a mishmash of guys that they brought in together. It's like they have name tags on still. It's not fun to watch.
Or remember in 2012 or back in the early 2010s when it just seemed so stale? They were coming off the cup in 08 where they won it in 09, and then the years after that, it seemed like they were getting older. The core was still there and still young, but they needed something extra to push them over the top. And that's something that they obviously need now to get just back into relevancy. And it was the Jake Gensels of the world. It was Brian Rust at that time.
Yeah.
Matt Murray. But it was the youth went on an
sure.
older team that made them faster and better.
But in the meantime, what? You know, it's going to take a while for guys to pan out that you draft. I just want a bunch of kids who are willing literally to fight for themselves, for their team, for the city. That's what I want. Like a bunch of kids you can get behind. I think that would actually be fun to watch. Certainly more fun than this. "Hello, my name is Kevin. Who are you?" "Oh, I'm Blake. Nice to meet you."
Blake Lizotte.
Yeah.
Who got hit with a puck last night.
That's Rickard over there. Come on. This is just a ship going nowhere. It's going nowhere. It's just listing. Is that the right word for a ship? Listing?
The ship is listing?
Yeah. I don't even know.
I don't know what
not,
that means.
It's not going anywhere. So I just had that thought, but it is interesting that everybody's on the table. And hey, if you go to them and you're very clear that this is only going to get worse, again, if you're a guy like Carlson, why would you stay? Why wouldn't you want to work with them to go somewhere? Mike Sullivan, Friedman says, this is a coach who would be coveted elsewhere. A huge favorite of ownership, maintains a strong relationship with Sid. But he also says it's fair to wonder if the time has come for Sullivan in Pittsburgh. It happens to all coaches. If they fire him, they're not doing it because he's a bad coach. They're doing it because they believe the Penguins need a new voice and someone else can do a better job with Pittsburgh as presently constructed. There's a funny thought there as well. I actually think Sullivan would do better with a bunch of young kids than he is with this group.
Well, how did he get the job? He was really good at Wilkes-Barre with all a bunch of young kids that he knew when he came back up, and that's why he gave them the opportunity. Now yeah. It doesn't seem like they want to give young guys an opportunity.
Well, they are now with some of these trades.
I mean, they've been forced to.
And I think they're going to go more. But I actually think it could rejuvenate him and be good for him. He might be the right guy for that group of players. He's not for this. I mean, we could boil it down in 18 million ways. They don't do what their coach tells them to do consistently. And it's been happening for a long time. And I don't care if I'm talking, you know, from little league and high school and college to pro in any sport. If the players don't consistently do what the coach tells them to do, you have a problem. You're not getting the job done as a coach, period. So interesting doings with the Penguins. I'll say that right now. And I vote for a kiddie core. That's what I want. I want young, hungry hockey players surrounding the core three as they fade into the sunset here. That's what I want. All right. Fan Hotline, presented by Sullivan Super Service, Pittsburgh's trusted plumbing and HVAC provider for over 50 years. Jeff Hathorne coming up next, I believe. Is he live on the South Side, oh, Limitless Wonder?
Yeah, it's dealer practice.
I'm sorry I called you Mr. P in front of Dalton Wasserman.
You got a chuckle out of that.
Did he like that?
I don't know. You at least got a chuckle out of it.
I did, yes.
Probably more than a chuckle.
You didn't seem to... You didn't seem to like that.